Welcome to the Planet Podcast. My name is Patrick Roenhaus. I'm your host today. And my guest today is Jeff Cannata, well known on the internet for the Totally Rad Show, a Revision 3 property and podcast. How you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. You know, just drinking some drink right now and talking to a really cool guy.
Well, thanks. You know, I have to correct you right away. We're actually not a Revision 3 property. We are distributed by Revision 3, but we are completely owned ourselves. We own our own IP, and we have an exclusive distribution deal with Revision 3, but we weren't developed by Revision 3. They have no creative input in our show. We do it completely ourselves.
I'm guessing that's something that's a common misconception among fans.
Yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. We love Revision 3, and we're glad to be associated with them, and they do a great job in putting out our show. But we're also pretty proud of the fact that for 2 years now that the show has been on, it's been four people creating the show, doing everything that is associated with it, beyond actually selling ads, which Revision 3 does, and distributing the show, which Revision 3 does, and they do a great job of it. But from a creative standpoint, we are a show that is made entirely by four people.
I see. So it's kind of like the same kind of relationship you would have with how NBC Universal might have House on Fox, but it's not a
right.
Fox property.
Right.
Okay. So you have a degree in acting from UC Santa Barbara that you got in 1999.
That's right.
What got you into acting? Have you always been a theater geek, or did you have other aspirations while growing up as well?
I did. Yeah, I was not a theater geek at all growing up, although my dad used to always tell me that I should be an actor because I was so, I don't know, overly dramatic when I was being punished, I believe. But yeah, I actually was planning to get into special effects and chose UC Santa Barbara because I wanted to get a degree in computer science, and actually got a minor in computer science. But my senior year of high school, a lot of the friends that I had were in the drama department, and in order to just be able to hang out with them after class, because all of them had rehearsals after school, and I wasn't doing that, so I didn't have anything to do after school, and they were all doing that, so I wanted to be involved, and I auditioned for my senior year play, which happened to be Inherit the Wind, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's a pretty famous play. It was turned into a movie in the 50s, I think. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to audition as a small bit part, and ended up getting the lead. And that kind of gave me the acting bug of, hey, man, maybe I could do this. But still, I went to college and was thinking I would do wanted to get into special effects, and was teaching myself 3D modeling and doing all that kind of stuff. And since I went to UC Santa Barbara, which is a liberal arts college, the requirement was to have a certain amount of electives. And one of the elective requirements could be fulfilled with drama classes. So I started taking drama classes. And I just happened to be fortunate enough to be going to a school that had a really strong mini conservatory program built into the acting department. And just taking some of those elective drama classes, I was exposed to the department, started going to see productions that they were making, and couldn't deny the fact that I really wanted to do it. And then I was lucky enough to be in a class taught by a professor who was trained at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London, and really gave me a love of language and introduced me to Shakespeare, and I got into that very heavily. And he said, you know, I think you actually could probably do this for a living if you wanted to do it. And so I had that kind of crisis moment where I called my parents and said, you know, I think I want to change my major. I think I want to be a drama major, which, you know, every parent fears hearing from their kid, I think, instead of, you know, having the safe, secure computer science degree, I changed my major to, you know, to get a degree in make-believe. But I did it, and started a 3-year conservatory program at UCSB, and really loved every minute of it. And while, you know, life hasn't been as lucrative as it may have been as a computer science major, I certainly have not looked back, and really love doing what I do.
Now, before going to college, what were you like as a kid? Like, were you a real big geek then? Comic books? Were you playing role-playing games, video games? I mean, like, you're a kid of the 70s, so video games is more of, like, the newer stuff. But, like, you know, like, what was the mage stuff that, like, really drove you, like, being all, like, geeky as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I was a major nerd, major geek. In fact, I, at a very early age, was, you know, I was really into comic books. I was really into science fiction novels. I remember reading the Foundation, Isaac Asimov's Foundation novels and robot novels at a really young age. I loved computers and video games. My dad was into computers, so he brought us home a TRS-80 from Radio Shack early on, and that was my first exposure to computers. And I started teaching myself BASIC and was writing little games and stupid little things that I could do with text and ANSI and ASCII graphics back then, and was very into that through my whole life. And actually, when I was 14, I managed to talk myself into a writing job reviewing computer games and video games. And so I was a total nerd. I was the kid who was in the newspaper reviewing video games when video games were only for the biggest nerds in the world. So, yeah, I mean, I remember being totally head over heels for Pac-Man. I mean, I had, like, Pac-Man bed sheets and Pac-Man, like, every birthday cake that I had for 3 or 4 years was a Pac-Man birthday cake. And I just, you know, I was totally into video games even at the start.
Well, that sounds quite epic, sir, to be a published game reviewer back in the heyday, Old West days of it.
Well, it sounds cool now because, you know, video games have gotten to be mainstream and kind of cool. But back then, there was nothing that could have made me more ostracized in junior high. You know, it was I had glasses and there was a picture of me in the newspaper every Saturday and a giant article where I talked about, you know, the dorkiest stuff like Commander Keen and Ultima. You know, it was not cool. It wasn't Madden, although I did review Madden, but you know, back in those days, even that was not for the cool kids.
Yes. Obviously this is how the byline would read: Lord Britannia comes up with another amazing game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have all that stuff now, in a scrapbook, and I look back on it and I mean, it is the biggest nerd pictures in the world. The announcement of me joining the staff of the newspaper, they did a character story on me and oh, a 14-year-old kid's going to join the staff of the newspaper. And there's a picture of me like leaning over my IBM PC-AT, like 386 computer, you know, like it's completely dorky and I'm leaning in like smiling and holding a joystick. It's the most nerdy thing you can imagine.
That is epic right there, sir. Again, yeah. I repeat, epic. So, you do a lot of theater, and being that you're an actor by trade, what was your view on, you know, becoming more well-known by your web property that you're doing with Totally Rad Show? I mean, when I say Jeff Cannata, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it's one of the Totally Rad guys. Like, yeah. What was your view on that? Like, you know, it's not like the traditional way of, you know, celebrity, but it's, you know, this new form of media celebrity.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I my goal was never to attain celebrityhood. You know, I'm much more interested in doing stuff that I feel passionate about and creating good work if I can. And I certainly, if I were to choose one area to be more successful in, I would probably choose, you know, the acting side and continue to try to develop work there, but I love doing the Totally Rad Show, and I wouldn't trade it for, well, I just said I would, but I love the fact that the show has become successful enough that you know, the three of us have gained some sort of notoriety and people know the show, at least on the internet. But you know, I have such a passion for this geek culture stuff that you know, I think that it's not just a means to gain notoriety or promote a career. You know, the three of us really do just kind of want to have these conversations and interact with the audience and talk about all the stuff that we love. So it's more about feeding that itch, scratching that itch, you know, feeding that desire to talk about this stuff and hear what other people are saying and develop a community that it's all into the same kind of thing.
Well, hopefully that that itch doesn't finally end with you guys at a firing squad.
Right. Yeah, I hope so too.
So with doing like the web properties like Totally Rad Show, you're now doing Project Lore, which is I'm going to announce this real quickly with this episode. I do not play World of Warcraft. I'm one of those kind of geeks that will not pay a monthly service fee to have my fix.
Good for you. Thanks. Stick to your guns.
I will. but I was watching it. And I was like, oh my God, there is levels of geekdom even I can't understand.
Yeah, well, there is that. I mean,
I do have to say it is quite cool that you guys are able to have this following now with Project Lore as well. What's your view on that? Like, you know, you guys are just playing a game and people are watching it because of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really Alex's baby. I love just hanging out and playing. And I think that people enjoy seeing other people that are having fun. You know, that's basically the idea of Project Lore, is that we're all enjoying the game. We all have this common touchstone of this experience that we all dig, this game we all dig. And I think that the amount of people that love World of Warcraft are the same amount of people that love to watch people enjoy World of Warcraft. You know, you're just sort of thinking about it a lot. It's the game. It's like you said, it's crack, and it's the kind of thing where the more you play it, the more you want to be playing it. But as for, you know, levels of geekdom and things, one of my real pet peeves in our community of, I say our, in the geek internet culture that I assume you and I are both associate with.
It's more of a fiefdom, I think.
Fiefdom, okay. One of my pet peeves is this idea that my subculture of that geekdom is what I'm into, but other people's subcultures is kind of to be frowned upon. And I had never understood that. I feel like one of the big reasons that we started doing the Totally Rad Show is that a lot of the shows that talk about the same type of things that we talk about, this geek stuff, they'll talk about their area of expertise or their area of interest, and then they'll look at other areas and be real condescending about how, you know, that is nerdy or that is to be shunned. Like, you know, I see these shows where they talk about dressing up like your characters, and they think it's for these uber dorks that are so socially inept. Well, no, it's just what they're into. You know what? I've really wanted to try LARPing. I think LARPing looks really interesting and fun. It may turn out not to be. It may turn out to be not very interesting to me. But I don't think that just by the virtue of the fact that people do it and I don't means that their sense of fun is somehow less than my sense of fun. So I certainly respect people for not playing World of Warcraft, because I agree, man. It's a time sink and a money sink. Mm-hmm. But there are these trends online of people selectively deciding what part of geekdom is cool geekdom and what part of geekdom is to be shunned. And man, I just don't get that at all, because if anything, growing up as a major nerd, I learned that I'm the last person that should exclude anyone or judge anyone else's idea of fun. You know, if somebody wants to stand out in line for 4 weeks before Star Wars opens, that's cool, man. That's how they're having a good time. That's how they decided to spend their energies. And I don't think that anything like that deserves to be mocked. I mean, not saying that's what you were doing, but it's just one of my pet peeves that you made me think of.
All right, I have to say this. I offended the guest. I must give him a peace offering. Here's 1,000 gil.
No. I completely respect your decision not to play it, and you were certainly not being disrespectful at all. But I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that I see a lot of. People are like, well, I'm a nerd, but I'm not that much of a nerd. And it's like, well, it's just different. It's not any more nerdy or anything. It's just different, you know.
It's the shades of gray of geek culture.
Sure, yeah, and it's I think it's all to be embraced.
I actually, when I was younger, I used to be very much against, like, I was complete computer geek. I was like, you know, I would tell you how, like, the IP stack worked and stuff like that, and I would tell you, you know, what were the different parts of an IP header and stuff like that. But nice. I always kind of, like, when it came to certain forms of geekdom, like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to play Magic the Gathering, And I went to my first tournament. And I'd gotten all my cards because at the time my parents didn't want to buy me any of it because my parents were sending me to private school because during the 80s, they didn't have textbooks in the school system where I lived in Maryland. And so the only school that had textbooks were private schools. So my parents didn't give me the cards, but other kids gave me all these little shitty deck cards that they had for Magic the Gathering. And the first time I went to a tournament, they're like, oh, you can't use those cards anymore because they're from the first edition. I'm like, screw this. I'm never playing again. And I've kind of like, till about recently with like the newer versions of Dungeons & Dragons, I've always were like, that's a level of geekdom I will never go towards again or whatnot. And, you know, I kind of understand what you're saying about how some people kind of say their cool is more cool than other people's cool kind of thing.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's a perfect example. You know, I can think of podcasts that I've listened to or shows that I've listened to where the guys have just spent 20 minutes talking about this one particular map in Halo 3 and how, you know, the plasma grenades have to be thrown from a certain spot and everybody, and they're talking about it in such minute geeky detail. And then someone will bring up, for example, something like Magic the Gathering or Heroclix or something, and they'll be like, oh, I'm a nerd, I play Heroclix, Magic the Gathering, and they shun that. It's like, what? You just proved how deep down the well of nerd you go. How can you possibly turn on your fellow nerds like that? You know, it's like nerd on nerd violence. I can't stand for it.
We all might be wolves, but we live in different packs.
Exactly, man.
For when you were growing up, what were your, like, if you were to say like your top five shows growing up, like cartoon and then also live action shows, what would they be for you?
Wow. Well, it depends on the age range, I guess, but the immediate things that come to mind are Transformers and G.I. Joe for cartoons. I would never miss an episode. In fact, I was a major cartoon fanatic. I would rush home for things like Smurfs even. And live action, oh man, I loved Knight Rider as a kid. My dad and I would watch that together. I loved Greatest American Hero. Man, that was a great show. Incredible Hulk. You know, it's probably everything you would predict if I hadn't even answered anything. Everything you would suspect that I would have been into was what I was into.
All I can think of is The Shield for some reason.
Well, The Shield I didn't discover until much later, obviously, but...
Understandable, but, yeah, but it's like, it's just such a thing that's ingrained with your persona.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sad that it's gone now, but yes, I certainly love The Shield.
So just to verify again, it's Smurfs, Transformers, G.I. Joe. Any other of the top five for cartoons?
What else? There were these cartoons that were on, I think they were on Showtime when I was a kid, and they were called Shogun Warriors, and I think they were all like repurposed Japanese anime. But man, my dad recorded them on VHS for me when I was a kid, and I would watch those for hours and hours and hours. I would watch DuckTales and Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Gosh, everything, all those. Mask. I was huge into Mask.
I have to say, when I was out in California, it's interesting the difference of how your Saturday morning cartoons differ from the East Coast Saturday morning cartoons. It's like you have multiple channels with multiple cartoons on. They're all different affiliates of the different organizations, and I thought that was like, wait a minute, you guys have Roughnecks, the Starship Troopers cartoon. I'm like, we don't have this in Maryland.
Oh, that's not fair.
I know. So, currently now though, now that the talking about TV in the future, and we kind of referenced it with The Shield. Because The Shield's gone now, what would you say would be your top television choices right now?
Well, my top television choices right now. I would love Lost, Battlestar Galactica. I've been watching The Mentalist. It's kind of cheesy fun, but I enjoy that. I'm drawing a blank on the stuff that I've been watching currently. What's going on right now? What's out right now? I'm sure that I'm forgetting a bunch of great shows. I love 30 Rock. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is, I think, the funniest show on TV. Damages. Love Damages. I watch way too much TV, but...
Do you currently have any guilty pleasures of television? Like, for me, I personally have a guilty pleasure for Smallville.
Oh, really? I never got into Smallville. It seems like there's something that I should like, but...
It's such fail. Like, the acting, you're like, yeah, Dawson's Creek with capes, but still, it's Superman!
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. I feel like Mentalist is kind of a guilty pleasure just because it's so... that show. It's like... there's nothing special about it. It's just silly parlor tricks and mystery, murder mystery. I wish I could. I should turn on my TiVo right now and see what I have saved. It's a guilty pleasure. I think I look at reality TV often as being a guilty pleasure, and I don't watch too much of it. But like I said, Little People, Big World. I can't miss an episode of that. There really isn't anything. I know Dan watches The View. I don't have anything quite as guilty as that. I do watch Pardon the Interruption every single day. And The Daily Show and Colbert Report. They're daily viewing for me. But I don't, you know, those aren't really guilty.
Now, that's actually good quality news nowadays for the educated exactly. College crowd.
Indeed. My guilty pleasure, I think, lately has been World of Warcraft, as we talked about. That's where I feel the most guilty spending time.
So your major time suck would be World of Warcraft.
Lately, yeah, I was cold turkey off of it for a long time, and then Alex brought me back in with you know, putting me on Project Lore. I was like, I really don't want to do this. And then I thought, all right. And then now I'm 100% back into it like crazy.
That's kind of it's in a way it's kind of like when you hear something like that, you're like, wow, that sounds like a, you know, rehab story all down the drain again.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. You know, I was doing great and living my life and following the 12 steps. And then all of a sudden some guy swings by and has that fifth of Jack, and that's all I took. And I was back in.
They keep dragging me back in.
Right.
So, we've mentioned your TV shows. We've mentioned your time sucks. What are some of your current, besides World of Warcraft, what's your current favorite video games?
I don't know if you've seen me talk about this on the show, but the game that I've been absolutely in love with lately is called King's Bounty. It's a PC game. It's by this Russian developer, and it is so awesome. It's like this throwback to the old Heroes of Might and Magic games, and but completely modern graphics engine, great mechanics, awesome, fun quests.
RTS? Real-time strategy?
No, it is not. It's an adventure game where you go around a map and you collect things, then you get into battles, and when you get into battles, it turns into turn-based. But turn-based where you're commanding armies. And you can constitute the army however you wish with any creature in the game. So you can have your army with swordsmen and archers and things like that, or you can have it with snakes and bears or ghosts or demons or anything that you fight in the game can also be in your party, in your army. So awesome.
So the gameplay is like, would you say it's something similar to like Romance of the Three Kingdoms or something like that? Like that kind of like...
Not quite that. It's not that kind of risk-like. It's more of it's Heroes of Might and Magic is really what it is. But it you know, you're moving around in real time on a map on a horse, and you go to a tavern and you hear a story and the guy will give you a quest, and then you can go to a castle and wander around there, and then on that map you'll see enemies, and when you interact with that enemy, the view changes to almost like a chessboard, and you're moving your armies around on the chessboard and using their attacks, and you have all kinds of special attacks and summons and all kinds of stuff. So it really is a role-playing game, but and more than a strategy game, but the combat is very strategic.
Now, being that you're a big giant, movie geek as well, what are some of the big movies that are coming out soon that you're like, I have to see this. I have to see it in IMAX. I have to see it opening night. I have to see it with crowds of multiple types of people.
The one that leaps to mind is Watchmen, and that's coming out soon. Hopefully we'll be seeing it this week. I'm really hoping we get into a screening this week of it. But yeah, that's the movie that I've been waiting my entire life to see. And I've heard some good things about it. So I can't wait. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the comic ever since it came out. And it was one of those movies where you always – it's funny, the time we're living in now as geeks is you have these movies where for so many years of my life, there was always that fantasy of cast Watchmen or cast X-Men or cast whatever it is. And so many of these movies are actually being made now. It seems like this weird dream come true of my childhood when I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with friends of what would be a perfect cast for The Watchmen. And now we're going to see that movie. You know, it's like, wow, we're not going to be able to play that game anymore because it's already happened.
Nice. Well, yeah. There'll always be other, titles for us to talk about, like us fans of comic books, I remember, with X-Men, whenever you read Wizard magazine, it's always Professor Xavier, always Patrick Stewart,
Yeah, right. And how cool is it that that actually happened?
I know. As soon as, you see that they're actually, some of these movies that are coming out and you see that they're casting people that everyone wants, you're like,
yeah.
Thank you. The directors know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's as if the, what's that metaphor,
Kings of the Kingdom or something like that.
Yeah, the idea is that we're actually – all the people that grew up with this stuff are actually the people making it now. We're actually kind of got the keys to the kingdom and we're taking these properties and doing them how they're supposed to be done. That's pretty amazing.
To talk about your career as an actor, have you noticed any of the web celebrity with Totally Rad Show or Project Lore or, your works with Very Angry Neighbors that you started parlaying into traditional acting jobs?
To be honest with you, no. And I'm hoping that starts to change, obviously. But the acting career and the web career have been very much parallel tracks and they have not crossed over at all. The mainstream old media are very reluctant to grant any kind of concession to the web media, to any kind of success there. They don't see it yet, and they don't see the benefit to them yet. And to be honest, what I'm doing in that space is not exactly analogous to what is I would like to be doing in the acting career. I'm hosting things rather than although, as you said, the Very Angry Neighbor stuff is narrative. But, I think that there isn't crossover yet. I think that will happen. I think that as more people – as things start to change and people start getting their media online, Hulu, and as people start canceling their cable and getting everything on their computer and having their computer feed their television – I think that's all going to change and it'll all sort of start overlapping and there won't be a real visible seam between those things. But I've definitely 99.9% of the casting people that I go in front of have no idea what's going on online. They don't care. And that's fine. But I think that'll change as things develop.
New generations taking over because
yeah.
I'm guessing the majority of those casting people are well in their late 40s or early 50s, correct?
Well, it's a whole mixture, but yeah, they're just so the TV movie culture is very much concerned with TV and movies, and they don't need to pay attention to what's happening online quite yet. But I think that's changing. It's changing pretty rapidly.
Let me pose this hypothetical question to you, Jeff. As an actor, you're given a choice. You can either be a TV actor, a stage actor, or a web actor. And your life will be relatively okay and comfortable. You'll have a very sustainable lifestyle. But you only have one of those options for your career. Which one would you choose personally?
That is a no-brainer for me. It would be stage. If I could make a living, a comfortable secure living, working on stage, that would be living the dream for me.
What is it about being a stage actor that gives you so much joy and, you know, you choose that option?
It's extraordinarily fulfilling to start a story at the beginning and work one evening and end the story at the end and go home having told the entire story. And then coming back the next day and getting to tell that story again in front of a new group of people. That feeling, that journey, that experience is so incredible. And it's something that I relish. I also am one of those geeks that that kind of loves language. And I find that some of the best writing in the world is in the theater. And being able to speak words written with such care and skill on stage is extraordinarily rewarding.
As a fan, now that you've said openly of being more of a stage actor, who are some of your favorite playwrights to do work from?
Shakespeare, Mamet, even funny people like Christopher Drang, Tom Stoppard. I'm blanking on Death of a Salesman writer.
Oh God, married Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, you know who I'm talking about.
Wait, we actually have to say this so that you know it's in the podcast for people. Miller.
Yeah, Arthur Miller. You know, all the greats, the classics, Chekhov. I have a desire to do all of the classics as well as modern writers. I mean, I love it. I love the theater. I love going to the theater. I love participating in it. I love reading plays. It's a huge part of my interest.
As a geek, you've mentioned you like reading comic books. What are currently your top comic books? Like, what are the books besides, you know, you mentioned with Watchmen, that really had a significant impact on your life and how you could tell a story in the comic book form?
Man, I've read so much and loved so much. The top ones for me are Watchmen, Preacher. Those two are sort of the two pillars of perfection, I think, for the comic book genre. Stuff I'm reading now, I'm a major Marvel zombie. I love all the superhero books Marvel puts out, the big ones. I also really dig Powers, Brian Michael Bendis' book, Ex Machina. I like indie books. I've kind of had a transition in the last year, going from reading everything week to week, showing up on Wednesday and buying my books to more reading in trade, and that's just a function of time for me and really space with all the comic books I have. But so I've started moving more toward reading in trades and but man, there's so much good writing. I love everything Kurt Busiek writes. So many people, Brian K. Vaughan, and I read if it's good or if it's even possibly good, I try to seek it out and make time for it. But I don't go on Wednesday like I used to.
It's understandable. So I'd like to thank you, Jeff, for being a guest on the Planet Podcast. And are there any other projects you'd like to let my following hear about from you?
Well, you mentioned Very Angry Neighbors. That's a group that I do a lot of comedy, online comedy stuff with. And if people wanted to check out veryangryneighbors.com, I think that would be cool. TotallyRadShow.com is where you find our weekly geek variety show, The Totally Rad Show. And I do also live comedy in Los Angeles with Returning Champs, and you can check out returningchamps.com for dates there.
Thanks a lot, Jeff, for taking your time to be on our show today.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.